Well, and speaking of captivating guests, we have one captive in-house and in person. George Kovacic, come on and sit down.
And if he's good, we might let him out.
That's right. And welcome to the show, George. Thank you.
Hi, George.
Good.
Nice to see you again.
And you've been on the show before?
No.
Oh, you haven't? Okay, just by phone, though.
Actually, never.
Never even by phone. You're just a famous Eminence Grease here for us here. So talk into the side of the microphone just like that. Close work, great. So George is here as a supporter of Parents Voice, and he's been the prime spokesperson. He's in the Sun newspaper as well. And
he made a splash.
He made a splash in recent days. Janet Steffenhagen of the Vancouver Sun wrote about it, and it's been an issue that Kerry Simpson has been on top of from the very beginning, and with George as well. So welcome to the show. It's all about parents having a voice, as your organization, Parents Voice, in the curriculum, in what's the atmosphere of what's going on in the public school system in the greater Vancouver city of Burnaby, British Columbia. And George, can you give us a bit of a background very quickly to people who aren't familiar with this, what's at stake here? And then we'll get into the eye-opening, eye-popping revelations that have come out recently.
Well, perhaps I can just say I'm still trying to figure out exactly everything that is at stake, and I've been asking questions now since April 18th. I guess that's getting pretty close to 100 days. And for a new policy that they've passed, which we didn't even see the final draft version before they passed it. So perhaps we can just go into the eye-opening email.
Well, the policy has to do with generally described
anti-bullying policy. Yeah.
But then it gets into anti-homophobia, and then it gets into sort of pro actual supportive stuff, and then their definitions are in there that basically says that if you disagree with this, you are a hater, you are a bad person. And there are a lot of good parents, particularly religious parents, whose moral beliefs are that homosexual activity is not something that they think is a moral activity, or that they don't think that some of the practices should be so openly described to their children. They're not haters. They would like a policy that isn't so attack oriented against people who dare to have a different point of view.
Well,
is that essentially right?
But more than that, Terry, because one of the things, and actually it kind of crystallized as you were going through that list. One of the most concerning aspects to me about the policy is it allows the school to discipline students. So this is not an adult-on-adult kind of situation. If a student is found to have uttered a slur, we don't really know what slurs are because they weren't defined in the policy. Am I correct on that?
That is absolutely correct.
Then administration must fix the child. And those tactics are not defined in the policy either.
Absolutely correct. And this is some of the questions I brought up to the trustees in a presentation submission I made to the trustees on April 26th. And I still haven't received a single reply.
Now, I'm really confused here, George, as far as the protocol and policy goes, because I'm familiar that there is a policy within Burnaby for developing a policy that wasn't followed.
And it's correct as well.
I'm also understanding that the Ministry of Education put out a ministerial directive in concert with a document called Safe, Caring, and Orderly Schools, where there is a very definitive process drafted out on how the school boards are supposed to go about creating these policies. And my recollection was consult the parents.
Well, Kerry, thank you for reading the policy. You're absolutely correct. The BC government, the Ministry of Education, has put out a policy, provincial standards for codes of conduct, and there it says parents must be consulted. Now, when I first learned about this policy, the first thing I thought is that I didn't know about this policy, my wife didn't know about this policy, so we asked all the parents we knew, did they hear about this policy? And everybody said no. We then approached our daughter's teacher, and she said she didn't know either. And we approached other teachers, and they didn't know. And these were all Burnaby teachers, Burnaby parents, and nobody knew anything about this policy. So after trying to figure out what some of these terms like heterosexism means, what transgender actually is, we said, well, now we understand what these definitions are.
Well, what were all the plus, plus, pluses about?
You know, we still don't know. I'm still trying to find out what all this information means, Carrie. I have never asked so many questions and received so little answers in my life.
Okay, now, but you're a parent and you're a taxpayer. Aren't you entitled to this information?
You would think so. And actually, it's mandated. I'm supposed to get it by the BC government, by the FOI Act, and everybody.
Well, forget get it. You were supposed to be consulted about it.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so we have strike one on the consult. We have strike two on getting the information. But there's been a recent event. Now, I want to come back to the parents' voice movement, because this is a bit of a phenomenon in itself. There's momentum behind this machine.
Absolutely, Carrie. I mean, this is a movement that includes people from every walk of life. First of all, one of the first groups that started going forward here were perhaps the predecessors of Parents' Voice is the BC Muslim Association, and perhaps we should say Happy Eid to them. I'm not Muslim, but we have a lot of Muslim people that are very, very strong supporters of this movement, so Happy Eid.
And they were really fast out of the gate on this. I watched as this thing developed. As a matter of fact, Carrie O'Neill, you know, you're a bit of the culprit in this, because you had a relative in the Burnaby district who sent you an email, and you kind of fluffed it. Well, that's Carrie's department.
Actually, I can't remember who. It was actually a relative who lives in Surrey, and somebody sent him the email somehow. But I think either his boss or his colleague is Muslim.
Okay.
And that's how it came. So, yeah, and then I sent it to you.
And by then I had, these were congregating in my email box, and I'm thinking.
Other people were starting to contact you as well. Yeah.
So I think I just kind of sloughed them off towards your direction and said, here's other people. Talk to them. Leave us alone.
Well, actually, I probably met you the first time in person about June, but we started corresponding via email somewhere at the end of April.
One of those relationships.
Internet romance.
That's right.
That's right. So, it's been quite a phenomenon. And as part of that, you've been seeking information. You've already alluded to the fact that you've been having a hard time getting answers. So you decide to file a Freedom of Information request. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I filed a Freedom of Information request on April 21st. And I was actually worried that this information request would come very quickly and I wouldn't have time to review everything in time.
Okay, but wait a minute. I mean, obviously, after you talk to the parents, you talk to your teachers, then by now you're learning that the next step up is you call your local trustees or the superintendent,
yes.
And they were obviously open doors and willing to sit down and help you.
Well, no. I spoke with Claudio Morelli around the 20th of April, and he is the superintendent of the Burnaby School District.
Gotcha.
And he actually stated to put in an FOI request.
Oh, he's not going to give you information. He tells you if you want anything, you've got to
submit it, do more work, study, research, more work.
Well, I have to just digress here. I was watching your face when Chris Delaney was talking about how he has to catch up with his work because this has taken 2 years. Do you have a new job now?
I think we just lack sleep. We've given up cable, which is good. We're saving money.
Okay. And you think we have paid people, bureaucrats and trustees
to
do this?
So what sort of information were you after that Mr. Morelli, and by the way, I know Claudio Morelli. He's a husband of a friend of my wife's.
Oh, wonderful.
So as we've had dinner a couple of times over the years. So I'm going to be it's going to be hard for me to be, even if I wanted to be super critical, Claudio, and I want to get that on the...
Well, you're going to have a great conversation next time.
I know.
On
this issue, though, I mean, Carrie knows where I am on this issue, and I've always known that Claudio was kind of at the... And I was wondering how he was... I didn't know what his role was. I thought this was all trustees, and now we're beginning to see some of Claudio's role in here. So anyway, go ahead. You tell... I can't defend him or do anything, but I do know him. So if I'm a little hesitant sometimes, that would be why.
Very well. Well, okay. I was just asking general information, which I and many other parents wanted. We wanted to understand why this policy is required, what consultations happened. I mean, this group was working for 2.5 years developing this policy, and we wanted to understand if parents were being consulted, if parents had been consulted. So we wanted general background information to review this information, and actually what we were asking for is full upfront information, a 90-day period to review the information, and then free, public, transparent, open consultations where everybody can consult and advise their concerns to the trustees and the school board. That's all.
Mm-hmm. That sounds darn reasonable.
And we were doing it for free using our time, and we had hundreds, which became thousands of people concerned and interested.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
Okay. So... Stonewalling, not getting the information you wanted, so you went the Freedom of Information route, right? Which is kind of something that Carrie's done successfully, something I've done successfully over the years. And what sort of success did you meet, Mr. Kovacic?
Well, after many emails, meetings, I ended up getting a leaked or forwarded email. And this happened to be from the executive assistant of Claudio Morelli, Betty Choi.
Okay, but at this point, so you said you were having meetings. Okay, and what was the nature of those meetings to fine-tune your request? Or?
Well, actually, at the meeting, we had one meeting. I actually limited the amount of information that they would have to provide so they would reduce the cost of the request.
Oh, the cost, because they were going to charge you?
Originally $1,400 plus for information that I'm supposed to be getting for free, what they should be providing anyway.
Well, that's a pittance compared to what the Human Rights Commission wanted.
Oh, you're
to
showing off again.
$64,000. So
wow, anyway. I wouldn't want to see that.
Deal, you had a deal.
Yeah,
you didn't even know
there.
It, George.
Hey,
no.
Anyway.
So you get to but I read one email, and I think it's sort of closer to when this errant email arrived in your inbox, where you finally say, look, just tell me what you'll give me for free.
Well, they actually repeated many times that they've done some work, and I said, well, just provide me what you have done. I'll look at that, and we'll go from there. Let's start somewhere. Like, it's summer. I mean, I have a little bit of time over summer, and other parents, we wanted to review this information and have it ready before the school year starts.
Okay, and am I right in this, too, that under the Freedom of Information Act, that this information should be given over if this is in the public interest?
Absolutely, and this is very much in the public interest.
So there should be the fees should be waived then?
Zero.
So the board didn't think that this was in the public's interest?
It doesn't seem so.
Yeah.
So you were waiting to hear something, and while you're waiting, an email that was sent to you by mistake. You were copied on an email that the executive assistant to the superintendent was sending to the superintendent, and you found out what was going on within the office. Is that essentially correct?
Absolutely correct.
What was the date of that?
Well, first of all, I'll just say I received an email on July 27th at 11:22 a.m. from Sandra Berner, the executive assistant of Craig Frank, the secretary-treasurer. So that was received at 11:22. And then at 11:50 of July 27th, I received a second email from Betty Choi. Now, I was a little bit confused because I noticed both emails at the same time because it goes into my Gmail account.
Okay.
And the second email was quite surprising, and I'll read the most important.
Yeah, please read the whole thing.
Sure.
We have time. This
is very well.
One thing on our show, and it's an interesting email.
So, this is an email from Betty Choi, who is the executive assistant of Claudio Morelli, who is the superintendent of the Burnaby School District, and the email states as follows. Hi, Sandra. I just read the letter we sent to him regarding the costs.
That was and him is you.
Him is me.
Okay.
I'm presuming so.
Right.
I don't see any reference to anything being exempt, just that beyond 3 hours of research. We will charge. Now, this is the good part. I don't think we should get in a flap over this. We should just let him initiate his complaint to the privacy commissioner and then wait for him to contact us. That will delay him even further, maybe past the elections. And it goes on. I heard he's running on a new civic team that Parents' Voice is forming for the elections of trustees, signed by Betty Choi.
Exclamation mark.
Exclamation mark. Unbelievable.
Now, okay. Regardless of the explosive content of this, what we have here is a civil servant, a public servant, not an elected official.
Person, I pay their wages.
You pay their wages. Everybody and actually every provincial taxpayer does, because a lot of it's only a small portion of a provincial school district's budget comes from property taxes. 80% comes from general provincial revenues. So you and I and everybody other British Columbian taxpayer out there is paying this person's wages. What she is doing here apparently is is talking about political strategy, is talking about delaying giving you information in order, and with some excitement, she ends this with an exclamation mark saying, you know, like, this will further stretch out this thing till past the elections. Why should elections be on her mind at all? She's a civil servant. We are paying her salary. She is not an elected official. Why? I mean, that jumps out at me right away. Why is she operating like a political operative on behalf of the trustees who are the ones that are under siege here, whose jobs are at stake, really. Why is she so concerned? Why is she doing that? To me, reading that, even if she was operating as a political answer to you, maybe she would give you political advice or something. She shouldn't be doing that either.
Well, she's using her, you know, her job, her Burnaby School District email account,
and her crystal ball, because apparently you're running and you don't even know it.
I'm running. I don't even know it, but I'll confirm I'm not running.
Okay. Well, there we go. Two announcements on the same show. I talked earlier this week, earlier tonight, about I am running for city council in Coquitlam. So there we
go.
An in and an out.
All right, okay. So you're not. So where does she get that from? It doesn't matter. I mean, what she's going
to. But why is that even part
why of is that
this
even
discussion?
Part of this discussion?
Yeah.
I don't understand, but it seems that they have something to hide. And this must be an incredible amount of information, which must be very, very scary for the trustees. And for Larry Hayes, the chief trustee, there must be some very, very
damning,
incriminating, damaging information in this information that we requested, which parents are supposed to receive anyway.
If they are so confident with their adoption of this new policy, they should just say, well, listen, we believe that this policy is the correct policy. Maybe deep down they think you're a homophobe or a hater.
Why?
You know, whatever, you know, that people like this do, though I'm not sure these guys do, but we do know of people like this who think anybody who disagrees with their agenda must be a hater or a hate monger or something. Maybe they
bullying.
Think that, okay? So they should be confident in the rightness of their position. They should be able to share all their decision-making process here.
This will convince him. Give him our stuff.
That's right. Yeah. So the fact they're not doing that leads you to wonder, what are they wanting to hide? Now, you come onto the show today with this. I have to admit to all of our listeners and viewers out there, we are not breaking this news. This actually did capture the attention of British Columbia, Western Canada's biggest daily newspaper, the Vancouver Sun, that did quite a good, fair story about it. You have a printout here.
Yes, I do.
Parent files complaint or FOI.
There it is. This is from Janet Stephenhagen.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Good story there. Parent files. Parent email shows Burnaby School District withholding information, father says. Janet Stephenhagen, their education reporter of many years, did a pretty good story laying out the this was pretty outrageous. The national website, LifeSite News, has published a big story on this. Smoking gun email, BC school board stonewalling gender identity information request. Published a big story on Friday as well.
Betty Choi has obviously been fired by now.
Okay, this is where we're leading to. Obviously, something the school board must be tremendously embarrassed, or maybe they're saying, no, we're doing everything that's right. What has happened since this story broke last week?
Well, I haven't seen any official announcement. I haven't seen anything. Perhaps Betty Choi is outlining the strategy and policy of the trustees.
This was an email that was sent from to Sandra from Betty Choi. Claudio Morelli, was he on this, the distribution list for that email? Did he know anything about this email?
Well, he apparently wasn't, but he did. He was quoted, actually, by the Burnaby News Leader and in the Vancouver Sun.
Okay.
And there he stated a couple of interesting points, and this was also confirmed by Larry Hayes, that this is a personal email. So they're having personal emails about me and my FOI request using taxpayer time, taxpayer resources, and emails, addresses, and computers from that the taxpayers paid for. It's shocking. I mean, why are they wasting our money and talking about me?
Yeah.
This should be another complaint.
Okay. Now, Mr. Morelli was, you were on CBC Radio last week as well, and they played a recorded clip of Claudio Morelli saying that he said, I did contact Mr. Kovacic by phone to express my apologies on behalf of the district for the email. Did he contact you by phone?
Well, he left me a voicemail message, and that would have been last Tuesday, about 8:50 a.m., and I replied with the email.
What was his message?
Well, his message was, I contact Mr. Kovacic by phone to express... No, wait a minute, this is a CBC message. I'm reading the wrong one
here. That's right.
Yeah.
What did he say to you?
Mr. and Mrs. Kovacic, it's Claudio Morelli calling, superintendent in Burnaby. I was wondering if I could please give me a phone call at, I won't mention his number, that's my direct line, and I would appreciate a phone call so I can speak to you directly about your request and also the email, and was unfortunately sent to you in error. Yes, and if you can contact me, I'll calling at 10 to 9 Tuesday morning. And again, it's Claudio Morelli, and I won't mention his number because it's direct line.
Okay. So the way he, so that's a, I believe you that that's a direct message. That's the only contact you had.
That is correct.
And he says that he did, according to the clip on CBC, I did contact Mr. Kovacic.
Kovacic is proper.
Kovacic.
Okay. But we're getting better.
But Kovacic.
Yeah.
By phone to express my apologies on behalf of the district for the email that he mistakenly received. I did indicate to him that I wished to speak to him today so that I could express my concerns and regret that it was an error in judgment on the part of one of our staff members and that it was in no way a position taken by the Board of Education. He didn't say any of that.
No.
Has he said that to you subsequently?
No. I sent him an email about an hour and 5 minutes after after his message was left, and there I said, you know, let's correspond with email, and I haven't received anything from him. So he has not given me any apology. But you know what? I really don't need an apology. I need information. Parents need information.
Yeah. Okay.
This is what we require. So I'll forget about the apology from Betty Torrey or Claudio. I just want information. Parents want information. Let's not waste any more taxpayer dime on apologies.
But now, don't you, I mean, they're trying to just sweep this, oh, foo-foo, you know, sorry, it was an error in judgment. Yeah, duh. But now, aren't we compounding that error by not taking this matter seriously? Aren't we compounding that error by, I mean, don't you wonder now how many more emails there are about parents voice? I mean, you, this is just you. What about all the rest of what's gone on here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of wonder what they're doing with their time, what they're doing with our time and with our money. I mean, it seems to be a complete scandal and corruption within that district.
Hmm.
I mean, it's shocking.
Now,
like, every time they open their mouth in the media, they make some sort of silly statement.
Well, now, I heard that somebody was on holidays and only Betty Choi was there. Is that...
Well,
but you have emails from Sandra Bruner at times when she was supposedly away on holidays?
Well, yeah. So apparently Claudio Morelli stated that she was on holidays. So either Sandra Bruner works when she's on holidays, because she replied back immediately that she received my reply. So either she works or Claudio Morelli doesn't know what his super and his executive assistants are doing, or he's not stating correct information.
Hmm.
One of the three.
Well, it's troubling that that you feel that you've been misled and aren't getting the information that you feel you need. And obviously, now that school's about to start again here in British Columbia next week after Labor Day, things will probably start moving quickly again, one would think. What's your expectation for what's going to happen next here now?
Well, I was hoping after I received this original email at the end of July that they would have noticed and actually replied, and this would have been all done, and I would have received information. And I was hoping last week after the media, and it was CBC and everybody picked us up, that they would have issued a statement and released all the information, just put it on the internet or something, but still nothing. And I'm actually had a couple of calls from reporters today, and they stated that they're getting the runaround by the school board, and I said, join the club. So I'm not sure. Now, this has all been submitted over to the privacy commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
I called them earlier this week, and they said they received, or actually last week, that they received the submission.
Okay, you made a formal complaint then
that
to the office of the Freedom of Information Commissioner, right?
That is correct. And to be transparent, unlike some of the stuff we're seeing, I made this document public.
Okay, so you've posted it on...
On the website of Parents Voice, which is, if anybody is interested, www.theparentsvoice.org, O-R-G.
Okay, theparentsvoice.org. Thank you for that. So the whole thing is there.
And does it? What does it do? It lays out exactly what's gone on here?
Yeah, it lays out exactly my complaint, the reasoning of my complaint, and then it goes forward and explains what the complaint is, and it's stating that the Burnaby School Board, for public purpose or political purpose and advantages, is delaying release of information. And then it goes through all the correspondence, all the emails, It provides the policy from the Burnaby School District, the policy from the Ministry of Education of the BC government, and then it goes forward with all the correspondence all the way to the famous email received from Betty Choi.
So you've laid everything out there so everybody can look at it.
Everybody can look at it, and there's still no reply or no official statement by the Burnaby School Board. I can't understand why, and actually other media is wondering the same question.
Is there a single school trustee on that board that that is in your camp at all, or has shown any support to your organization or parents of like mind?
I'm not sure, but, you know, maybe Betty Choi leaked the email purposely. I don't know.
I was talking about trustee. Not a trustee. There's because trustees voted on that to adopt this.
Well, there was one trustee that was absent from the vote, so that might
correct.
Be a show of support.
That might be,
Now, have you made any contacts with the trustees here? Ultimately, they are elected to represent you, and they have some power over the employees that work at the
district. I have done everything I possibly can to contact the trustees. I've actually, in my beginning of my correspondence, I copied every single trustee on every email I sent. So they would have, in April and May, have received many emails from me. I went over and prepared a submission to the Burnaby School Board on April 26 and presented that, asking questions, and haven't seen a single reply. I have bent over backwards. I was pushed by them over to the FOI officer. Basically, I've been giving the runaround. Haven't received information. It's almost as if they want me to waste a lot of time and not get any information and get tired.
George, there was just something's resurrecting in my brain here. Hamera, another Parents' Voice supporter, she also made a request, a very interesting one, if I recall, because it actually was a result of the Province news story about other bullying situations that were transpiring in the Burnaby School District. Parents started coming out and explaining it had nothing to do with sexual orientation. Matter of fact, one of the most prominent stories was by Don Ferry out of the Province, exposing the torment that a skinny young man was having to endure that the trustees weren't dealing with. So
yes.
I believe that the nature of her request was to have access to the kinds of bullying incidents that were going on in the Burnaby School District. Again, back to the Safe, Caring, and Orderly Schools Guide. That information is to be made available. That's a directive to make this information available so parents can understand how safe or unsafe their schools are.
Absolutely.
And they obviously gave her information.
Well, yeah, I was shocked, too. I mean, she knows much more about this detail. We're a large and growing movement, so people are working on different files. But, yeah, she got a reply that they wanted $5,000 for general information that they should actually just be having available on their computer screen. And actually more. That was just a starting payment. So they don't...
$5,000?
Well, yeah. Then I thought the $1,400 I was being asked for was maybe not that bad. But then I was wondering, what do parents have to do to get information?
Well, and information specific to finding out how safe your school is.
Well, yeah,
or isn't, as the story definitely
if they need
suggested.
$5,000 or plus, like, how dangerous are Burnaby schools? And, I mean, there was actually two articles. There was a Burnaby Now article and a Province article, both dealing with bullying to just regular kids. And what's really...
Two different issues,
yeah.
Wow.
And Burnaby Now reported a separate one as well. And what's really shocking about this, bullying is horrible for children and for the school district and the trustees and the superintendent not to know, like, in the back of their, like, in their drawer, have this information available is shocking. Do we have to actually pay them to collect information they should have already available?
Well, my understanding is that those files are supposed to be collected and kept.
That's
a ministerial order. That's a directive.
I know.
You know, it seems to me that the information you're not getting, the runaround, the lack of response from trustees, it's a perfect case for the BC Civil Liberties Association to go to bat for you guys because they stand up for individual rights, they think they're against big government, quite often and stuff like that. And so I would imagine the BC Civil Liberties Association would be interested in this. Have they expressed an interest in your case?
Not to me, but perhaps, you know, everybody is on holidays, like Mr. Morelli was saying, and maybe that's why nothing's happening.
Well,
but
what? Actually, I have the answer to that.
Yeah.
I was giving you a softball, and you missed it.
I missed it.
the BC Civil Liberties Association has issued a support of the equity policy that passed in the Burnaby School Board in
June.
They
have.
Yes.
And that was actually written about on LifeSite News as well. Patrick Crane did a story just about 10 days ago in which he quoted Sean Murphy, the great Sean Murphy, as equating this equity policy to ethical cleansing, he called it. It's not ethic cleansing, ethical cleansing. Basically, it's aiming to eliminate anybody of opposing moral views. And so you would think that with an ethical cleansing policy in place, as Sean describes it, that's another reason that BC Civil Liberties Association would jump up and down. But
they might now.
Well, I don't know. It looks like it's interesting because two of their board members, one is Stan Persky, of course, who wrote the you know, now famous Recruit.
Oh, yes. Oh.
And Robert Dixon. And they actually collaborate on a number of issues, including the right of people to possess child porn. So these are the kinds of individuals that are supporting the policy.
Well, I guess we won't be talking. They won't be calling us soon.
I don't think they will be. But it's a real shame. So what other groups have you made associations with? Any supporters coming out there that maybe you can build a bit of momentum with?
You know what? There is a lot of support out there, and it's growing. This is a movement that involves a lot of groups and a lot of people. No ethnic group, particular ethnic group, no particular religious group.
Oh, well, what are Ethan Barron of the Vancouver province? Are these horrible immigrant Christians?
No.
That's what I mean. He said they should know that when they come to Canada, they should leave their moral beliefs behind.
Shocking.
Remember that column?
I pulled this off just in preparation for this and talking about, you know, the threats against our lives and stuff, but this is off Extra West, and this was comments that they had posted on their site after they put who's prompting the Burnaby protest. I guess that was a recent article that they did. But one of the comments that came on said, "Say goodbye to your businesses, Asian pricks. You will be run out of town. We will protest your stay in Canada and your effing corner shops." They used the whole word.
That's
goodbye.
Bullying.
Well, yeah. Wow. Hate mongering, too. Listen, I want to just kind of pull back a bit here now. And I'm always interested in the motivations of people who are taking on stands, who maybe never in their life before have sort of come out and said, enough is enough. I've got to stand here. You know, I've never been involved before in any sorts of things. And we see these people and we celebrate them. They're our champions here on Roadkill Radio. And I think you're one of them. It seems to me like you weren't a big political activist or anything before this happened. Now, tell me a little about yourself. You're a parent in Burnaby, obviously. How old are your children?
Well, I'm a parent. We have three small children, both two of them going to school.
Uh-huh.
Look, I'm just a very small piece of the puzzle. Yeah. There has been a lot of people that have come from everywhere.
Yeah, you're here tonight.
Okay.
Thousands of people watching, listening, and you've given radio interviews, you've talked to... I mean, have you ever done anything like this before?
And nothing to this extent,
What was it that said, I've got to make a stand here?
The stuff I read in the original policy was shocking. I read it, I thought about it, I looked at it as an annual report and said, let's take these definitions and put them into the policy. And when I took the definition of heterosexism and put it in the policy, it basically stated something like, if you believe marriage is between a man and a woman, this was my interpretation, you're dangerous to individuals and society. And I was thinking, well, that's not equality. And then I read further and it said, well, we're going to somehow label children. I don't want children labeled. I want all children to be equal, to have fun, not to worry about sexualization. To have equality, I was getting scared. I was getting worried for my children. I was getting worried for other people's children. I said, I have to say something.
Yeah. Now, where are your beliefs rooted? Is it a religious thing? Is it a philosophical thing? Or is it just the fact that you're a parent now and you're seeing things in different ways?
You know, I think it's a bit of everything, but I think it's just the fact that I'm a parent and we have to protect our children. And if somebody's putting out a policy that could be a Trojan horse and they will not share this information with parents, well, we're going to get concerned. One reason I started asking questions is because I heard of rumors, and I said, well, let's discredit these rumors. And I've been asking these questions now for months, and I can't discredit these rumors. So I'm getting progressively more and more concerned.
Now, what grades, excuse me, I want to finish this here. What grades are your children in school?
I've right kept now? My children out of it, so I don't want to tell you what grades they're
okay,
in.
Okay, fine, no problem. But just one follow-up question.
Yeah.
Is what's happening now with your dealings with Burnaby School District, the trustees and the bureaucracy that's there, leading you to think maybe my kids shouldn't be in the public schools in Burnaby?
I'm not getting information. I'm getting very concerned. And until I receive this information, I don't want to comment further.
Okay.
But yeah. But George, isn't there, the Parents' Voice movement actually decided to exercise your rights, and you crafted together a parental directive
that
you've served on schools.
That is correct.
And certainly the Burnaby School District would be embracing, because they are embracing diversity, right? Are they honoring and respecting these directives that parents are putting on their children's files?
As of this point, not yet. But we're hoping. I am still very positive that they will respect parental rights.
Wow.
Okay. Well,
and we're on countdown to that time.
We're on countdown. And is there going to be a political price to pay here? Like you were described by as a potential political candidate here, and you went, what? No, I'm not running. But is there a political movement that's forming now to run against the existing trustees who put this policy in place?
Well, I think Gordon World was on here several weeks ago, and I think he clearly stated that he plans to run. I think that
he stated that early on in a school trustee meeting. I think he put the gauntlet down and just said, I'm going to take one of yours.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I believe he's going to be running for sure. I believe there may be other people coming forward, but if they come forward and when they come forward, I think it's best for them to make that announcement, not myself.
Okay. Good. Well,
gee, you guys are a tight group. You know, we tried to extract that out of Gordon World as well, and he wouldn't give over any information.
Well, if somebody wants to enter politics, I think they should have the credit of or the opportunity of announcing that themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, but I can't bring 5,000 people into the studio.
Maybe it'll have to be outdoors.
That's right.
There
we'll
go.
Have a little rally here.
Yeah.
I'll combine mine.
Well, my hat is off to you guys. I know how much work you guys have put into this, and the kids and the parents that you're serving are all the better for it, George. Congratulations, and this is, I think, not only an education for your group, but for everybody that's going to have access to watching how this story has developed. It's going to give people an inside story on how things do or don't work, as the case may be, when you take on the
and
school
who
district.
Who has the power within the public school system?
Betty
well.
Choi does.
Yeah,
it looks like she does.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks,
George.
George.
And good luck. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, George.
Thank you. And you've got all your extensive files there that should be about five times thicker if the district was giving their information to you.
I read actually, because of my correspondence, they are five times thicker.
Okay. Thank you very much. George Kovacic.
Oh,
did I get that right that
you're,
time?
You're good at that.
George, of the Parents Voice. Theparentsvoice.org.
And, you know, go check out their website, people. I think anybody that's doing anything within the schools, you know, this is a great training ground for how to get things done, because they've just come together. It's impressive.
And let's not think that parents getting together, you know, local level, can't get something overturned. One of my first lessons in that was back in the BC Report days, when the benighted year 2000 curriculum changes were being put in place. And at BC Report, we started writing stories about them. One of my first big assignments as a writer before I became editor was to do a story on it. And boy, did it get a lot of reaction. And then next thing we knew, a little parent group would form in a particular school district to express concerns. And then after I took over as editor, this kept going, and I started publishing a little sidebar story with the cover stories that we were writing on the year 2000, listing all the different groups that were forming in opposition to year 2000. And those groups started communicating with each other. This was before the Internet, folks.
I think I was one of them groups.
I think so. And so
fax machine, hours in front of the fax
and phones, and no internet, no emails. And these parents became strong enough that they, when the NDP took over from the social credits, Mike Harcourt eventually had to announce that this policy was being overturned. And it was reported in the Sun the next day as the controversial year 2000 was being overturned. And I just shook my head because I said, you know, if you've been reading the Vancouver Sun for the last 3 years, you wouldn't know this is controversial.
No.
They weren't covering it.
No.
One little publication was covering it, and that was enough. So maybe we can do that here on Roadkill Radio. Carrie, you're going to have a big job this fall to keep that going.
Yeah, well, that's what we do here at Roadkill, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Somebody's got to do it, Terry O'Neill.
So, yeah, and I'm sorry that I'll be missing all that fun and excitement, and I would like to. You should try to get Claudio Morelli to come on the show, even by phone, because he's a good man. And I don't know if he's caught between a rock and a hard place on this, but give him a chance to talk. And so in the coming weeks, phone him up. Can you do that?
I have extended.
Have you phoned him?
I have phoned the trustees.
Phone Claudio Morelli directly up, because he's obviously giving clips to CBC,
mm-hmm.
And ask him to come onto the show, even by phone.
All right.
I'd like to give him that opportunity because I do know him. Strikes me as a really good man.
I happen to have his direct line off one of these emails.
Okay. Well, I can't give you his home number. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I don't want his home number.
All right.
If he's home, I would want
that's
to
right.
be home,
okay.
which I'm
so,
never home.
So this is not a good situation for public education in Burnaby right now, that's for sure.
No, it's
when
not.
The parents aren't being served the way they deserve to be served. So I'm afraid I'm going to be missing the next little while, and maybe for a long time if I get elected.
You
Terry.
Will be phoning in and updating
yeah,
us,
so.
Terry. We're not going
to,
you know, I need my Terry O'Neill fix.
Trying to have
okay.
A few therapy sessions.
Yeah.
I did. Well, you know what? I meant to bring it in, and I didn't. I think this is something you should get. The McLean's did a cover story, a big feature story, 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe it was a month and a half ago, on the failure of all-day daycares in Quebec. And about how all the outcomes for better this, better this, better that for children weren't coming as expected. I don't know if you saw
wait,
that.
We've
been saying
shock,
that here, folks,
shock,
for
should
years.
Should I be in shock?
We got a good old McLean's magazine
shock.
Talking about
you
this.
You ready? This is feigning shock.
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
But you know, as we're seeing more and more expenses here for all day kindergarten, which is kind of. Daycare.
Well, no, it is daycare, Terry. That's yeah. why they did what they did, because
they
nobody would go for daycare,
that's
so
right.
they
so
just changed the name and screwed the kids.
That's right. So it's definitely an issue we should be keeping watch on. I'm next going to be doing something other than politicking in about a little more than 2 weeks from now when I fly to Edmonton for the Reform Party
Yeehaw.
The Report magazine reunion.
You are going to go.
I am going to go. And,
I broke that news to you.
You did indeed, and we talked to Link Byfield about that. There's going to be quite a celebration of 25 years since the founding of the Reform Party. The West finally got in. We've got a conservative majority government in Ottawa. And there's going to be some celebrating, and there's going to be some recollecting of good old days, and there's going to be some big people from Ottawa who are going to come and drop by and share some memories, too, so we're looking for
so
that.
So you will be giving us a report one way or another.
You know,
another.
Maybe I should. That's actually on a Thursday, so maybe the following Tuesday I can at least phone in and tell you guys how it went. So
there we go.
Thursday the 20th
we're making
or something
dates
like
already,
Thursday the
Terry.
20th or 21st.
You'll never leave us.
Tell you, that's
you'll
right.
never leave us.
Anyway, that's Roadkill Radio for another week as we wrap up the summer and head into what's going to be a busy fall. Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much for joining us. That's Carrie Simpson.
And that would be Terry O'Neill, while you can still see him.
Bye-bye for now.
Good night, everybody.
See you again soon.
You've been listening to Roadkill Radio. Join us again next week for another trip down the superhighway of information, fact, and truth.